This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon, Douglas County, and welcome to another episode of Your Q, where our job is to celebrate, uplift, and educate you on the wonderful things happening in and around Douglas County. That's exactly what we're going to do today. And so sometimes I talk about my thoughts or feelings and all of that, but today I'm super excited to just get right into it and talk to our first two guests that are in the studio with me. So I want to say welcome to Linda Exing and Rayanne Rutledge with Ride for 22.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
So last year I started the show April 1st, and you guys a few months later came on, and it was so fun. We had a packed crew in here that time, and I can't believe it's almost been a year. Like, we're going on a few months and it's been a year, and I instantly adopted everybody. I was like, yep, that's my people.
Yep, you're so, part of the tribe now.
So I tell everybody, that's my familia.
Yes.
So I am so thrilled to have you on the phone and excited you're here. But the subject that we're talking about is kind of heavy.
Yeah, and it is.
So if my excitement or enthusiasm, I don't want to take away from this major message that you guys share. So if you could tell us a little bit about Ride for 22 and how it got started, that would be great. Linda, you want to go? Rayanne?
Okay. Well, basically, our goal is to never let them be forgotten. Okay. So like 20 plus one active member takes their life every day in the United States.
It's crazy numbers.
So we don't want them to ever be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we do a ride in a 5K here in Roseburg. And everybody that runs or walks or rides, they honor a vet that day. And we have a photographer out there. She takes pictures. We put them on Facebook so the families can see that they're never forgotten. And along the way, we do fundraisers, different things to raise money.
And you do a lot, and you help families in a multitudes of ways.
Yeah, we help families that are left behind because they struggle too.
Absolutely.
You know, so we always, at the end of the year, we always donate money to another nonprofit that helps vets. Like last year, we helped Operation Rebuild Hope over at the coast, and they house vets. That's so we always give back to another nonprofit that helps vets. Along the way, we also help families that are struggling that needs help, too, with college funds, need things done to their homes, just whatever they need.
Whatever can make their life a
easier,
little simpler,
right,
with the situation,
right,
that they're in.
Right, because, you know,
huge.
Some of the families, the mom doesn't work, so mm-hmm. The sole provider is the husband. So it's whatever we can do to make their life easier. Yes.
And I think the part that you had said was to make sure that, you know, these servicemen or women are never forgotten is so huge. And, you know, Rayanne, that brings me to you being a Gold Star mom. And you were in the office the other day and you said, you know, I just don't want people to ever forget. And I said, then you're doing a heck of a job with Rory because...
thank you.
Yeah, there's... You honor him every day and always, and if that's the goal, then you're killing it. You know, I mean, you are doing a great job with that. You guys are all doing a great job, and Brandon, and we'll get to the other parts later
because
that's super exciting. But I can't give away all the bells and tricks. But anyway, being a Gold Star mom, tell us how you got involved with this.
Well, it's like Linda said, they had the ride, and Roseburg's my hometown, so that was, you know, piqued my interest. And then all of a sudden, when I was scrolling through the pictures, I was like, you know, someone had Rory on, and they were honoring Rory. And so that's how I initially got involved, liked the Facebook page, became more and more involved. Rory's oldest sister was involved for a time, and then I was living out in Colorado then. And so when I moved back home, I was at their mercy. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, they're like family, and it every little thing that I do, every phone call, every message, everything is just helps heal my heart, and it helps me help other people. So,
and I think that, you know, when something like that happens, it's the people that are left behind that need that person that's maybe walked a mile in their shoes mm-hmm. and can understand what they've gone through, because it's easy for somebody to say, and it's actually something that really bothers me. It's like, oh, I know how you feel. Well, how the heck do you know how I feel if you've never been through that? I mean, honestly.
Exactly.
And so to have somebody, like the resources that you ladies have to be able to say, I literally have walked. I literally do know what you're feeling. And here's what I can tell you you need to avoid or try to help you through it in some way is priceless. Like, you can't put a cost on that.
And oh, just absolutely
for that emotional
not.
Support or those right. phone calls right. or mm-hmm. And it's just surprising to me in a way how God puts you in a certain place at a certain time. It's exactly. uncanny. I mean,
right.
isn't it?
It is. It really is. And before Rory died by suicide, I literally had no idea. And my husband was in the Air Force. You know, I lived a military mm-hmm. life. And I had no idea of the epidemic that it
yeah.
was going on with the PDS. And
well, and last year when you guys were on, it wasn't shortly thereafter that I received kind of this random phone call, which was like, how in the world did this person come to be with me, you know, or call my phone? But it was a similar situation, and I was able to reach out to Linda and be like, ah, what do you have? And she's like, okay, well, here's what I'd say. And then I found some resources, and I'm telling Linda, hey, right. here's a resource. We still need
right.
to connect on that.
Right,
and,
we do.
You know, and so it was just kind of this networking thing, and it's like,
exactly.
how did this even happen? I would have had no idea, not a person to have even thought of to call had you guys not been on the show. And so it's just, that's what I mean. It's like, how uncanny. You were on to promote an event that you're having, and here it ended up helping, you know, somebody.
It's one of those God winks.
Yeah, it's just, you just can't ignore it. It's just too powerful. And so mm-hmm. I just amen to what you guys are doing, because the trickle effect of people that you don't even know you're helping is out there.
Right, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate you having us on this forum so that we can talk about military suicide, because it needs to be spoken of. The stigma needs to be taken away. We've got to talk about it, and not just military suicide. Suicide needs to be able to come up in a conversation without somebody being afraid of another person's response or being looked down upon.
Well, and I feel like you guys are making a positive impact in that aspect as well, as far as the educational piece.
Right.
Because last year when you came on, you said, this is not, we don't say they committed suicide, Shannon. No. We say they died by suicide.
Right.
And I learned a lesson that day, and I have absolutely changed my verbiage on that, and hopefully we'll never say it the wrong way again. But my background being with pageantry and Miss America and the Miss USA system and stuff like that, you know, we lost a title holder this year that was a Miss USA local title holder, state title holder, and then a Miss USA.
Yeah,
and
horrible.
It was horrible and horrific. You know, this beautiful bright light. Anyway, I just felt like in that moment it was sad, but I did notice the verbiage that people were using, and it was, you know, died by suicide, and I felt like that's you guys out there making a change. And so there's so many positive things you do, and
I certainly hope so.
Yes.
Well, a lot of it's education, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's part of our mission, is educating our community,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because let's face it, if you went down the street and asked someone how many military take their lives by suicide, nobody's going to be able to answer that. So a lot of it is we got to educate the community.
Yeah. You know? I feel like more people would would say 22, even though I know the number's not there, because you guys are doing such an excellent job. You have your merch, you have all this, you guys wear it, and you're out there, and your social media presence is strong. So I feel like maybe more people might be starting to catch on to that number. But when you times 22 by 365, that number is horrifying, y'all. And
yeah,
and that needs to change.
It does.
The 22 is a day. It's a day. It's,
yes, ma'am.
That's, one's too many, and 22 is way the heck too many. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of work to do.
Until there are none.
Yeah.
We'll be working.
Yep. You know, so. we just can do better. We just can.
And speaking of work, one of the things that's coming up is we have several fundraisers coming up. Our kickoff party is the Friday night before the 5K and the ride. So it's at Backside Brewery, 6 o'clock. We have a live auction. Velvet Whiskey will be playing for us. And it's just a way, you know, to come down and maybe talk to us. If you're not familiar, a way to come down and be able to donate. And it's a fun time. It's a great atmosphere, great people.
And the dates on that?
It's July 15th.
Is the Backside party.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then
that's the kickoff
party. The next
party.
Day is the 5K and the...
Yes.
Yes.
So you either can be a biped or a biker that day.
Yes, and that's July 16th. The 5K kicks off at 10. Stand up for the motorcycle ride is at 11. Okay. And there's some special things that's going to be there. We're going to have a special speaker. Besides Steve Exene, we're also going to have Patrick from Operation Rebuild Hope will be our special speaker.
Oh, that's excellent.
We'll have colors. We'll have someone there singing the national anthem. So we have a lot of things before everything kicks off. So if you really want to come out and know a little bit of what Ride for 22 is all about, come out there July 16th. Come and join us for some fun. Learn about what we're trying to do and accomplish. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to find out, is July 16th.
And, you know, last year I came to the park. Well, I came to Backside and the park. But there is, I mean, I grew up around Harley-Davidson's and stuff like that with my dad. And so, and he's passed on. But to hear everybody start up their bikes and ride off, like, that gets me emotional even right now to this moment. And it's just like there's something so powerful about that brotherhood or unity. It's like unity at a whole different level of people getting together and standing up for this and speaking out for it. So it's really powerful. So to come listen to the speakers and then hear those bikes start up and take off.
Yep.
And they're spreading a message when they're out there. Yep. I mean, it's pretty powerful. So I encourage everybody to come. And
the Roseburg Police Department is going to provide us with a police escort again this year. And they will take us out to Diamond Lake Boulevard to the city limits. And then the Douglas County Sheriff's Department will pick us up and take us out to Glide. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool having the lights and sirens going with the bikes and...
Yeah, it's honestly something to see. So,
it really
and
is.
And you didn't do the 5K last year, so that's back.
Yes, we haven't done it for 2 years.
That's my that'll be my first time with that, and I can
so
actually do that.
I'm really excited that we're bringing it back, because actually, when I brought Ride for 22 to Roseburg, that was what we did, was a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited to bring it back.
Get back to the roots.
Yes, get back to the roots. Because I'm not a rider.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ride bikes. And so when I asked the founder of Ride for 22 if we could bring it to Oregon, that's where it started, was with a 5K.
Well, that's cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more on Your Q. Sponsored by Premier Insurance in just a moment. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And today I have Rayanne Rutledge and Linda Exting in here in the studio with me from Ride for 22. And they're just two of the coolest people.
Oh, thanks.
So thank you for being here again, ladies.
Thank you.
So I want to kind of break down. I might have been chattering a little bit. I kind of have a problem with that sometimes when we were talking. So let's break it down. You have three events in 2 days. So first of all, I can't imagine how exhausted y'all are after that. But the first
just
one.
A little.
Just a little. Is the Backside event. And that's, now I'm into April. It's July 15th. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. So July 15th. And there, I was there last year. That was one heck of a good time, y'all. But I know who to look for in the crowd now. So
yes,
I'm coming with an education this year. So what all do you do at Backside at that event?
Well, we have our live music,
which is so good.
Yes, and you can pre-register for the 5K and the ride the night before.
Oh,
yes,
that's
absolutely.
A good tip. Yeah,
we will have merchandise available. Our merchandise table will be there, and then it's our main fundraiser for the year. So we do our live auction. And so throughout the year, we've been collecting stuff that we can provide to be auctioned off to raise money.
One of the things that I always talk about how amazing Douglas County is. I just honestly, I would get in a debate with somebody if they're from somewhere else. No, you're better. No, we're better. And I'd have no problem defending that. It was so cool that night to just see, it wasn't a huge crowd, but the crowd was so giving and so loving and so behind everything that you guys were doing. It was really touching. It felt like, yeah, a big event, but it felt intimate. And I don't know
how anybody
could understand that unless they had been there. But to get up and see North River present you guys with a check, you know, a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It about floored me.
It was amazing. Yeah. It's like, yes, Douglas County was awesome. Yeah. And Virgil Osborne, Bidden Like Crazy, and Alan Painter from Premier, and Carlos from Umpqua Survival. It's like, you guys have some really great people that stepped up and stuff like that. So I know those are just people that I personally know and witnessed being very supportive that night. But
Alan was pretty generous that night too.
Yeah,
Alan,
you know,
Painter.
It didn't help, you know. We were all kind of having a good time too.
Well, that's
so that's
awesome.
A good idea.
Yeah. I've known him since junior high. So
yeah, those are people that I know. So what other sponsors do you have that have been really crucial to you or beneficial?
Well, Umpqua Survivor and Mercy Medical Center has been with us from the beginning.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they donate every year. And they've been a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They really have.
They just are.
They great just people. Are. They're mm-hmm. great people. They're big on community.
Absolutely.
They really are.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Douglas County is small. But I'll tell you what, they have big hearts.
Yeah, we're mighty. Tiny
yes.
but mighty.
They really do have
yes.
big hearts.
100%.
You know, and they're so giving,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think this is why we've been able to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because our community is so giving. And our kickoff party is amazing.
It's a good time.
And we get really decent, good people in there. And they just want to keep bidding and give and give and give.
Yes.
And that is one of our biggest fundraisers we have is that Backside.
Well,
also,
I think
Doug's
contribution to the kickoff party was helping people with their bidding.
Right. And Backside.
yeah.
And Backside Brewery has been with us from the beginning, too.
They are so nice.
They're a young couple, but I'll tell you what, they do a lot for the community.
Absolutely.
So I want to make sure they're mentioned because they're so amazing. I just love that couple.
Yeah, it was a great time. It's a fun place. You know, the indoor-outdoor aspect was nice. You know, sometimes you'd be too hot or you go inside or whatever you wanted. Or the music. Some people like it loud. Some people would go outside for a little bit. But there was something for everybody, and the gun that Carlos does for you guys from Umpqua Survival was so awesome. It's like, now I'm excited to see what it's going to look like this year, because it's just, I mean, they're one of a kind. And so, you know, you have that opportunity to buy in and get into the raffle by going out there, you know, the month before, and he starts that off and then has it there that night. And it's just super cool. That was, we were all bummed we didn't win that, because that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then one of the other things was, I didn't know Carlos that night. That was kind of one of the first times I had actually met him, truthfully, which is funny, because now we're, you know, he sponsors part of the show for the Business Buzz coming up here in a bit. And that I had bought a flag thing, and I told everybody, I'm buying mm-hmm. that. That one's mine, which was funny. I was claiming it in my turf early. And but they thought I had made it. So his wife's like, you can't let Shannon buy her own thing she made.
Oh, no.
So they were bidding against me. And then I stood up and said, what are you doing? This is mine. Anyway, it was funny. And then Steve's like, she really wants this. This is hers.
Oh, my God.
But it was so funny, because it's like, it was that intimate of a group that even though I didn't know them, they knew.
Right.
It was all in fun. It was all in fellowship. And
right.
And that the cause was great. You know, and so it's like, keep the dollars flowing. But we were getting sassy and a little, a little chippy in there.
Yes, yes, very much so. It was a good time, definitely. Yeah. We just had a fundraiser at Workman's in Winston, and it was really successful.
Yes.
Velvet Whiskey was there with us then, and we're TBA, hopefully having another one the Saturday before Memorial Day. So we're working on that currently.
Good. But, I told everybody I was coming to that, and then I got sick that day and missed out. And I was like so bummed. I was telling Rhianne, it's like the whole time I'm thinking, oh, I really want
to
go.
Yeah, and we need to do a shout out to Velvet Whiskey too.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
because they're always willing to play at our kickoff party, and they donate their time
to do that. Well, when she sang the national anthem last year, that started the night off with chills.
Yes.
Her rendition of the national anthem is just off the charts amazing.
Yes.
They're so good.
It was beautiful. Well, we are in fundraising mode currently. we've only got what, 3 months till our event. So we are currently asking for sponsorships and donations. We have a Facebook page, which is Ride for 22 Oregon Chapter. And make sure that it's the one with the black Ride for 22 emblem that a lot of people are familiar with. Or you can get in touch with Linda. But we are accepting stuff, donations to offer at the auction, at the kickoff party.
Or if somebody's merch and they just want to donate directly. Linda, exactly. What's the best way to contact you?
You can contact me at Linda E. at Ride for 22. Is that right?
Yeah, .org.
.org.
Yeah,
perfect. Yes. And if you can't, or if it doesn't work, call us at Premier and I'll get you connected.
Right, or you can find Shannon. Yeah, call find Rhianne. One of us on Messenger or Facebook
or something.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. Because we definitely will take donations up until I think we want to do a cutoff date of around June 25th, so we kind of know what we're working with. So
right. So we can get it all ready for the kickoff party.
And some of our local sponsors that we've got so far, the Kodiak Bar, Kim's Closet, McKenna Beach, the Tamale Guy's back, yes, Wildlife Safari, Grocery Outlet, Steve and Kelly are going to donate the water for the ride. We've got massages and fishing trips, Seven Feathers donated, Abby's, Oregon Tool and Supply, Canyon Creek Bicycles. We've got this awesome ironwork American flag with the Pledge of Allegiance on it.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
From Matt Clark. It is so beautiful. Western Jewelers over in the Garden Valley Shopping Center really came through for us. Ralph Garza Painting and Spire Mountain has donated a case of wine to us, and we've got feelers out at most of the local wineries now too. So And we're working also with the breweries. So I've been in contact with them, and, you know, we're in the process of doing the footwork and dropping off the donation letters and getting back to people. Clint Newell's one of the people that I've asked for a sponsorship. So
well, it keep will our come fingers together. Crossed. It will come together.
Yes.
Yes.
And like I say, if you build it, it will come. And also just for people to come in attendance that night is really important. And I love the pre-signing up for the 5K there.
Yes.
Everybody loves to be as far in advance and not have to wait in that crazy line for the 5Ks right. if they can avoid it. So come and avoid it. Have some good food. We just recently started doing our OHA meetings at Backside. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the breadsticks. My husband just had the nachos. Big fan of that.
So. The chicken bacon ranch nachos are amazing with the white sauce.
Oh. So come for the food and stay for the event.
And just to enjoy the company. Yeah. That's awesome,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You'll have a good time.
Yes.
It's almost impossible to be around y'all and not. So I want to thank you. We're going to have to head to the commercial here but thank you so much for being here today. I just think the world of y'all, and
it's
please
mutual.
Come out and support them, and we'll keep you posted on those to be determined and announcements down the road, and
yes.
we'll keep you up to date on those. So thanks, Rhianne. Thanks, Linda, for coming. And
you're
tell
welcome.
Steve hi for me.
Okay. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. We'll be back with the local business buzz in just a moment here on Your Q.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right. Welcome back. It's kind of a quick 3 minutes when we're changing tempo here, but I am Shannon Sebastian, and this is the Local Business Buzz sponsored by Umpqua Survival. And today on the Local Business Buzz, I have the pleasure of having Pam Spetta with the Forget Me Not Village. And Pam, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great.
Thank you for coming today.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Well, I am super excited for you to share about what you've created. So first of all, the buzz is about locally owned and operated businesses and the story behind the business. So tell us a little bit about how you started the Forget Me Not Village or what the passion behind it was.
It was actually created and thought about because of my own walk with my husband with Lewy body dementia. So I worked full-time, and I was a 24/7 caregiver, and it almost killed me. It was probably the most difficult thing I had to do, and I was only in my 60s. So it was called early onset dementia, and it was awful. The isolation that occurs, the financial position that occurs, the lack of support, you know,
it's a
all
lot.
Types. It is very difficult, and people don't understand that until you've walked in those shoes. You don't understand how very bad it is. So probably within the last 2 years before he passed away, I kept thinking, you know, if I just had some help, if somebody were there just to help me, maybe in the middle of the night if he were to fall or something should happen, somebody be there with me, I could get along so much better. And of course, there wasn't anything. So I decided that we needed to change this because nobody needs to go through what I went through ever. It's not necessary. If we can fix it, why not? So what I did is I listed everything that I needed in the home, which means a home that's built that's dementia safe. Mm-hmm. I had stairs in my house. So when you've got stairs, you always worry if they, especially if they sundown and start walking around, they're going to fall down the stairs or trip on the rug or any one of a million things. So I have a house that I built that is as dementia safe as you can possibly make it. so you don't have to worry about those things. Because, you know, if you're worried about stairs, that means you're standing beside them almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whenever they're up. Here, they can walk around, they can go outside, they can do whatever they want, and they're going to be as safe as they possibly can in any spot. So that was the biggest thing, creating something where it's home, but it's safe. So then there's the isolation, you know, where, you know, I would get home from work and walk in the house and basically there'd be nobody there, no one to talk to, or at night when I got home. So there was no socialization for over 3 years. So in this family home, the families come together in their own apartment and they care for each other. They're there to help each other through all of the emotional ups and downs of someone that has, you know, watching their loved one die in front of them, literally. And then I'm a certified dementia trainer. I've had years and years experience, not just with my husband, but from all the families that I've helped in the community. So I take my knowledge and I make the travel towards the end of dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, as easy as possible, so that it becomes actually a pleasurable event, not a stressful one because of the training that I have. So exhaustion, of course, is a big thing. But if you've got somebody there that can help you, like my big thing was just making a meal when I came home from work. It was like, you know, you read all these things about healthy diet and that type of stuff, but I didn't have the time. Not to mention I was shopping totally online. I mean, and usually at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, not a lot of flexibility there because you got to have it delivered and pay for all that stuff. So one of the things in this house that we do is we all cook together. So I might cook on a Monday and a Wednesday and somebody else will cook on a Tuesday and a Thursday and then someone else will cook on another day or whatever. So that when you do come home or at night, you've got a nice, healthy meal instead of just whatever you can find in the refrigerator to throw together. So that's also one of the big things about the house that is important, not to mention the no sleep. You know, when there's no activity during the day, they have a tendency to get up in the middle of the night. They're your sundowning.
Absolutely.
But we keep them active. We've got a in-ground pool. You know, we've got a hot tub. We've got all kinds of activities for them to do during the day, from anything from painting to puzzles to actually boxing in our gym, so that they don't get up in the middle of the night. And it works absolutely beautifully. Keeps them healthy, keeps them strong so that they don't fall. I was invited to Hoogwijk in Amsterdam last October. It's a village that's been around, I think, since 1995. And in their village, people live as though they were at home. So they'll take a cart and they'll go shopping and they can buy anything they want, from alcohol to pop to cigars or dinner or whatever they want. It's as normal as possible there. What they have found with the 170 severely demented people they have in that village, they don't have this pearl state that we have here where people are just laying in bed and basically not getting up or doing anything.
Right.
They stay active until 2 to 3 days before they die.
Mm-hmm.
All 170 people. I was so shocked to watch that happen. That is so different from what we experience here. And I came back and I vowed to make that the way we need to have it here. You know, let them have quality of life. Let them do things. Maybe they're slower. Maybe they do it differently. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the quality of life that they have that's super, super important. And they did incorporate some of the activities that I do in my home in their program.
Well, and for the spouses, like you said, with you taking care of your husband for that long, I mean, one of the statistics I had read years ago was that for every year that you're a caregiver, it can take as many as 2 years off your own life, because that's how taxing it is. To be able to share that load with somebody, for example, the meals that you talked about.
Right.
I mean, just sharing that load, that's, you know, 75% less of the week that you're having to cook if people are sharing the load. You know, everybody picks up 25% of it or something. So, you know, it can be better for the patient and far better for the loved one that's living with the person with the diagnosis.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It takes a toll on you. And 6 months before Rich died, I actually had a heart attack in the middle of the night, which usually that's when it happens. And who do you call? you're going to call your neighbor and say, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Can you come help me out and get me to the hospital? Mm-hmm. And by the way, take care of this guy over here because he's got Lewy body and he'll hit you, but that's okay. You know, kind of stuff. So no help at night. I didn't find out I had a heart attack until after he died. And then I was able to go to the doctor and get the diagnosis and get the care that I needed. It's just because they were going to take him away in an ambulance. He was a fireman. He knew what an ambulance was for. It wouldn't have been pretty if they'd have tried to take him away in an ambulance. Plus, I'd spent months getting him off psychotropics because he was so young. And that would have totally defeated the purpose of what I was trying to do, which is basically get him drug-free. So, yeah, it can be very, very, very devastating, and it doesn't have to be. It should be one whole heck of a lot easier, and that's what I'm trying to do with my little village, is make it easier on the caregiver so they can have a break, you know, go sit in the hot tub or, you know, whatever when somebody else is around there that can literally help you with whatever you need to have done.
So, how many people can your village house or home
there? Well, we have right now, we have two apartments. We're going to be building two more on this campus. We're going to build more campuses, but on this one. But we can accommodate the community. So we can accommodate people from the outside that have dementia or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's in the house grounds. So it's open, the gym is open, the pool is open, the hot tub is open, all these things for the community to be able to do, not just us. So, you know, kids and children, the caregivers bring their kids in when they don't have a caregiver. So, and they play with people with dementia. It's just amazing what happens when you get kids mixed up with adults with that rarely see kids at all. It's pretty cool.
My mother-in-law had Alzheimer's, and I've talked about that on the show, so some of the listeners know that, and so it's really kind of passionate to me, and Parkinson's, and it's amazing, pets and children and that interaction, just honestly, it's so beautiful sometimes just to witness it. And she loved Halloween once she got dementia, because she loved to give out the candy. But we found out, for every trick-or-treater she gave candy to, like, five pieces went in her pocket. And one night she had, like, almost, you know, 5 to 7 pounds of candy in her
coat.
My
goodness.
So, but just the joy she had doing that is something I will never forget. And you know, it was a huge burden for my father-in-law. And so we all did pitch in as a family, and it was a team event. And I can't imagine it doing otherwise. So, first, I want to commend you for what you did with your husband, and I'm sad that you went through that by yourself, but I feel like sometimes great things can come out of, you know, rough situations, and I think you've taken this and made this diamond shine, and so God bless you for doing that. I think it's beautiful, and I'm sure this is not lightening your workload in any way, shape, or form to get this started, but kudos to you. I mean, I just can't honestly praise you enough for it. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's such a need, My husband he was the bravest man I've ever met. He was a fireman, and he was an EMT, and you know, he rescued kids and saved people's lives, and then at the end of your life to be treated like, you know, he was actually put in chemical restraints. The first care home I put him into, because that's what everybody does. And I walked down to visit him, and he was just laying there. He was drooling. He couldn't move. He couldn't sit up. He couldn't do anything. And I said, what happened to him? And he goes, oh, that's normal with dementia. You know, he's a healthy guy. He could hurt someone. And it's like, this guy was helping me with the backyard yesterday, and now he can't get out of bed, and he lost like 8 pounds in 2 weeks. I mean, he was treated more like a dog than he was a man who deserved to have a high quality of life, even at the very end, for all he'd done for people. He was incredibly brave. And it's like, and everybody, I mean, we all have our stories. We've all done very good things, like what you're doing here, your work.
Oh, bless your heart.
Who deserves to be put in a bed and doped up so bad you can't move?
Or nobody.
Nobody. And in his case, another moved him to a different home, and they gave him Ativan at 3 a.m, and he collapsed and put his head through the wall.
Oh, my
Lord. I took him home from the ER, and he never went back again. So,
well, You brought him home and I brought you him made home. It right. Well, I'm going to go to a break real quick, and then I want to hold you over and have you back here in just a second. So this is the Local Business Buzz, sponsored by Umpqua Survival. Be back in just a moment.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back with Pam Spetta from Forget Me Not Village. And Pam, again, thank you for everything that you're doing for the community. And I'm excited, and I hope there's more villages and more villages. And I hope the need for those villages decreases. But boy, we need way more than just the one, but it's a great place to start.
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you for starting it.
Well, this is just the beginning, that's for sure.
So, and there's all kinds of different things that we talked about, and so that's why I wanted to have you back on a little bit after the break here, was to talk about, you also do support groups for different kinds of things. So touch on that for us. For
Yes, on the first Monday of every month, I do a dementia support group. I haven't done one for a while, thanks to COVID. But this one's going to be about, if it's not normal, what is it? And as a trainer, and all the experience I have, I go through the different stages of dementia, how to recognize what might actually be dementia, what might be urinary tract infection, all the things that you want to know about dementia, what's actually happening. Then the next Monday is the Parkinson's support group of Roseburg that meets in my home. And there we talk about different subjects about Parkinson's and discuss how people are being affected by maybe one or two meds they happen to be taking. The next Monday is about healthy eating. We know the anti-inflammatory diet is very important to people with dark Parkinson's and even dementia. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to have cooking classes where we will teach healthy eating, and that will be the one on the third Monday of the month. So healthy eating and how reducing the inflammation in the stomach and the intestines can actually get you to start producing dopamine again for your body, which is super important. And then the last one is Parkinson's School. These are all on Monday, all at 1:30. The Parkinson's School, we will actually take a subject and we will get into it as to what you eat, how you eat, what about supplements, what about CBD, what about surgery, all the things that you're going to want to you need an answer for when it comes to Parkinson's. So those are all on Mondays at 1:30. Each one is a different class, but all very, very essential.
So tell us where the address of the village.
We didn't It's 2028 Northeast Airport Road. It is Greg Krovach's old home that I've converted. We're about three doors north of Gerritsen's. So I don't have a sign out front yet, but I'm having one created so people at least be able to see where it is.
Well, Mondays at 1:30, there's always something happening.
Always something happening there. And on premises, we're expanding. We're going to have different types of massage therapists on premise so that you can, you know, whatever works for you, we're going to have a different massage therapist for that. Jane Pritchard is going to come in and talk about alternative therapies for Parkinson's and things that she can do. So, you know, we'll have yoga, water aerobics, all kinds of activities for people in the community to come and enjoy.
So I think somebody that's listening right now and maybe at home and maybe in the early stages of this for themselves or has a spouse or a family member that could benefit in any way, shape, or form, from this, it's like you have a Facebook page too. I'm trying to figure out maybe the best ways for people to reach you. I know you like email is one of your best choices because you're so busy, but the Forget Me Not Village has a Facebook page.
Yes.
So maybe reach out through that, or come, you know, to the village and check it out. Maybe do a tour and find out all the things. Because Pam came in here loaded with brochures. This woman has all kinds of stuff you can do. And so much that when we originally talked about her being on, we said, okay, we're going to talk about the forget-me-not village that you've started on the local business buzz, but I've asked her back next month with Sandy Hendy too, which is Parkinson's month, to touch on all the amazing things that you're doing with that in the gym and the support groups and everything. So we're going to hear more from you next month, which I'm really excited about.
Me
so
too.
We can delve into it even deeper, because there's just way too much to say in this time amount that we had right now. But thank you so much for what you're doing, and we really appreciate it. And people reach out, Forget Me Not Village. Again, the address?
2028 Northeast Airport Road.
And everybody knows it's...
Yeah. For sure.
As Greg's place, Old Pace.
We're the first in the world that's ever done this.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, the first. And I don't know why, because it's so simple, but we're the first. Because
it takes somebody that just sparks a fire, and that spark started with you. So thank you for that.
And it is so rewarding.
We're blessed to have you here in Douglas County.
Yeah, yeah. It really puts an eye on Little Roseburg, that's for sure.
I love it. Sure. Yeah. I love it, because we're a great place and we deserve all the good attention.
This is true.
Well, next week, so I have some house cleaning things here to do, or housekeeping stuff. So first I want to announce next week we have, where'd my little sheet of paper go? Some kind of other cool things too. So we have, oh goodness gracious, Shannon. I know the name, but I'm like, how do I say it again? The Onesimus Health Services. And I also wanted to mention that our winner today for the Umpqua Survival Business Buzz Certificate is Michael Ardito Sr. So I will be giving you a call if you're not listening, and you can come down to the news review and pick your certificate up. Until next time, everybody, this is your cue, and we will see you next week.